I'm going to pray first. This is never comfortable for me to be up here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know you're here. You're better to us than we deserve, Lord Jesus. You are so good.
Yes, Lord.
You are the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, and you knew that we would need you before we were ever born.
Yes, Lord.
And if it weren't for the breath that came from your mouth and went into Adam, none of us would be here. None of us would be alive. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being your children. We thank you for the privilege of your precious presence. Lord, I thank you for my wife, my kids praying for me, for the pastors, for the leadership of this church.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Jesus, for the great destiny that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a powerful God,
yes,
that you are a mighty man of war,
you,
that you took the worst of hell and you brought victory from everything that the devil threw at you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
You took the ugliest, worst event in history, which was the cross, the most unjust thing that ever happened.
Yes,
and you wrought the greatest military victory. The cross was the intersection of history and eternity. You shed your blood there for us.
Glory.
And Lord Jesus, you are creating soldiers in this room, soldiers in this city, Lord Jesus. You are training your warriors. You are preparing us for battle, Lord Jesus, because we will go from strength to strength and glory to glory and victory to victory. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are full of surprises.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity, even though this is never, ever comfortable for me. Thank you, my wife, my kids. They pray for me. We pray together every night. I am thankful. There is no way, I would be the man that I am without my godly wife.
That Amen.
Is for sure. That is 100% sure.
Amen.
She got the short end of the stick when she married me, but I'm pretty thankful. Thank you to Brother Paul for helping me with the slides. We're going to start. I'm going to start with two testimonies. Number one, everybody knows things are crazy, inflation, we've got a little testimony. I'm going to give two testimonies, and then I'll just jump into the lesson here. About two months ago, we look out on our porch, and our porch is covered with Food Lion bags.
Mm.
There was probably 10 or 15 Food Lion bags full of food out there. And we don't typically shop at Food Lion. And what happened was, it was for our neighbor.
Okay.
And so my wife has our next door neighbor's phone number. She called the lady that lives next door to us and says, "Hey, I think we got your groceries." And the lady said, "You probably did." She said, "That's okay. They're going to deliver more to me. You keep all that."
Amen.
Oh, amen.
And this is when gas is going up.
Amen.
I mean, it's so expensive now. We're paying more to fill up our cars. And thank God they've gone down a little bit. But this was at the time when it was over four.
Mm-hmm.
And God has just unusual ways to provide.
Yeah.
He has supernatural,
amen,
unusual ways. He offered to bring the grocery over to him. She said, "Nope. I'm tired of people delivering my stuff to y'all. They're going to do it right. You just keep what's on your porch."
Amen.
For that.
Amen.
Okay. Now, to start my lesson, to kind of preface my lesson, what I'm going to speak on tonight, in January of this year, right after Christmas, I went to Wisconsin. I was there for a school. I'm in the military. I went to a school called SLC, Senior Leaders Course. Okay. They teach that school here at Fort Lee, okay, and they sent me to Wisconsin in the winter to take this course. I was so mad, I'm going to be honest. I was like, "God, I know you have a reason, but do you think this through?" I was really kind of arrogant, it's really dumb for me to do that. While I'm there, my wife and I, we were doing a fast. My family came under tremendous attack. My son got bit by a dog. Tore up his hand, broke some bones in his fingers.
Yeah.
My wife and my daughter got COVID, my youngest, and I just felt totally helpless. And I just got mad at God. I'm just going to be honest. I got mad at God. And God just kind of, you know, God's patient with us. And he just said, you know, a fast without praying is just really a diet.
That's right.
And I was like, oof. Okay, so I'm not praying like I should. I got it. Okay, so God started really challenging me in my prayer time. I was still getting up praying. I was still trying to pray throughout the day. But God was saying, listen, this time of mediocrity is over.
Amen. That's right.
It's over.
Yeah, that's right.
And he said, your prayer life needs to change. And
glory.
It needs to change now.
Glory.
And he basically was challenging me in my prayer life. I'm gonna show y'all kind of what my prayer life used to look like, just to be honest. Okay, this hopefully is none of you in here. Okay. I gotta do PT with soldiers in the morning, so I'm usually up by about 3:30 in the morning. My sermon tonight is gonna be about God's generals. That's us in this room. Okay? Having a prayer life that is saturated in the presence of God, praying the things that are on the heart of God, and examples from the Bible of when God brought these great military victories in the Bible for very unusual circumstances. I'm going to be honest, this is what, for a long time, my prayer looked like, okay, so 3:30 comes, the alarm sounds, I turn it off, I say, oh, Jesus. Lord, it can't be 3:30. Lord, you remember when Joshua told the sun stand still? I'm going to try to exercise my faith. Sun stand still over Europe. Moon stand still over Petersburg. Just give me an hour, Lord. Just an hour. I'll give $20 more in the offering. Okay.
Amen.
Then I have to get up.
Amen.
Because God never answered that prayer. Never. I don't know how many times I prayed that prayer. And we all know, we know the stories of David and Goliath and Gideon. We know the stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I'm going to go through just some priorities that God had to change in my prayer life. This is called Priorities for Prevailing in Prayer. I hope that they can bless y'all's lives tonight. We're going to start out in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So if you could turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The first priority God had to show me was praise comes first.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
Comes first.
Amen.
Okay, I feel like crap in the morning. Okay, I'm 48. I'm tired at 3:30. I know I signed up for this, and this is my job, but I'm tired at 3:30. But God does not change. And
that's
he
right.
is still worthy of praise,
Amen.
Even
Amen.
Though I feel like crap at 3:30.
Amen.
God is still worthy of praise. He's still sitting on the throne. He's still able. He's still strong.
Amen.
His mercies are new. His grace is abundant for whatever I'm going to face that day. So when my eyes open and my feet hit the floor, praise has to come first.
That's right.
All right. So we're going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, okay, 13 through 23 to kind of set the stage. The Israelites were... it was a King Jehoshaphat. Alright, he was getting ready to have to go to war. There was enemies that were going to come against him. We're going to start with verse 13 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Okay, so now all Judah was with their little ones, their wives, their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levite of the sons of Asaph. In the midst of the assembly, he said, listen, all of you, Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, because the battle is not yours, but God's. That's the first thing we need to really remember. God is worthy. God is worthy of our praise. This battle is not ours. The enemy hates us because we were made in God's image, and we can do something that he can no longer do, which is worship.
Yeah, that's right.
So make him mad. Make him angry by doing what he can no longer do and what God deserves every day. Worship and praise.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to keep reading. Tomorrow I'll go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz or Ziz. You will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Yeah. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Let's keep reading. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they arose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper."
Yes.
And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever."
Yes,
now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. And they were defeated, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another.
Amen.
They didn't have to fight. They just had to start with worship.
Amen.
Okay, I don't know about you. I never get excited about getting up at 3:30, but I know God is worthy. I know that he's worthy. I know that I should be debtor in jail. I know that because of all of my stupid mistakes, those are the two places, dead, hell, or in jail, I should be. Those three places. So I know he's worthy.
Yes.
So when I wake up and my feet hit the floor or my eyes open, praise is the first thing that comes out of my mouth. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you're going to do this day.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you are worthy.
Yes.
You have purpose in this day. I don't know what you're going to do today, but I know it's good. Lord, I praise you that your mercies are new. There's no way I would still be alive if your mercies were new every day, God.
Yes, Lord.
I am still tired at 3:30. I'm still wishing that God would hold the sun still in the sky and give me some more sleep. But I know that my day has to begin with the priority of praise first. Do me a favor.
Hallelujah.
We're going to turn to another scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to try to use technology and make it my friend. It usually is not my friend. 2 Kings chapter 7.
Excellent.
2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3.
Hey, that's what he said.
We're going to read 3 through 11. I love this story. Okay? This makes me think that heaven's going to be the most awesome place because God's got to have the best set of speakers ever. Okay? So the city's surrounded. If you read through the book of 2 Kings, the city is surrounded. An enemy army has laid siege to this city. And they cut off their supplies. People were literally eating their children. That's how bad it got. There was no food. And Elisha steps up and he prophesies. God sends an amazing military victory by four lepers. We're going to start in verse 3. Now there were four lepers met at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore let us come, surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there.
Yeah.
For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses. the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came into the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right.
That's right.
This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp. Surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound. Only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out and told it to the king's household inside. So here's what happened. It's crazy. These four lepers, the most unlikely war heroes ever, start walking to this camp. And I don't know how God did it. I don't really care. I wish I kind of would have been there. He made it them, those four crippled people, sound like an army.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to put myself in the position of these people in the Bible to try to see from their eyes and what they were dealing with.
Yeah.
Lepers, they were considered cursed.
That's right.
They were considered outcasts. They were rejected. They were the scum of that society. They probably believe God hates me.
Yeah.
God doesn't love me. Why would he let this happen to me if he loved me?
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have probably been through an event like what they lived through.
Right.
Some of us have probably been through an event as a child or maybe as an adult, I don't know, where something scarred you. And the enemy uses that and says, if God really loved you, he wouldn't have let you go through that.
Right.
And every time you pray, that's what you hear.
Mercy.
That's what you hear.
Yep.
And that's where your prayer life stops.
Yep.
Because the enemy uses that to keep you from going deeper in prayer and finding more of God and getting that stuff healed.
That's right.
Some of us have been through that.
Glory.
Some of us have been through that. Some kind of trauma. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
We try again to take it to the Lord in prayer, and that's the enemy's excuse to keep us. That's his barrier to say, you know what? If God really loved you, if God was ever going to use you, why did he let this happen to you? Stop thinking that God is going to use you. Stop thinking that God loves you.
That's right. That's what happens.
It's time to ignore that lie.
Amen.
The second priority is to push past pain and push past shame and push past comfort. We don't always understand the beginning until the end.
Amen.
That's right.
When I went through what I went through, and I went to Wisconsin, it was negative 29 degrees there. I hate the cold. Oh, I hate the cold. Oh, I hate the cold. I hate it. Oh, my goodness. I hate the cold. Negative 29. And I get up, and I look at my watch, and I look at the weather, and I'm like, God, no, you have a reason. I'm still wondering why. Here was why. When my wife and daughter contracted COVID, if I would have been here and I would have got COVID, they would have, and I would have been attending the school because the school was going on here at the same time I was in Wisconsin. If I would have gotten COVID, I would have gotten pulled out of the school.
That's right.
And I had to start all over.
That's right.
And I need that school. I needed that school to go to my next friend.
Amen.
So when you get up and you put that priority of praise in place,
yes, Lord.
And the enemy starts telling you, remember this? Remember when God allowed this to happen?
That's right.
Keep going deeper. Push past that pain. Push past that shame.
Yes,
push past that comfortable area or uncomfortable thing.
Yes, Lord.
And go deeper.
Yes, Lord.
Because there's something else God wants for you than to live in that shame or that pain. Just push past it. That has to be your priority in prayer.
Amen.
God, I don't know why you let this happen, but I'll understand the beginning at the end. And I need whatever this is to be healed so you can take me to that next level of authority.
Yes, Lord.
That next level of responsibility. Yes, that next level of anointing. God, close this door. You're going to have to push past that in prayer. Just like those lepers said. Those lepers decided, hey, we can sit here and do nothing. We can start walking. And God used those four lepers to feed that whole city. Then bringing the news back to the king's household, the king sent troops, and the city could eat again. I don't know if anybody in that city thanked those lepers. But they were the gateway of blessing for that entire city.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
All right, third priority. 2 Kings chapter 6, please. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read 13 through 23. The third priority is priority of a paternal perspective. Okay, so I'll start reading at 13. Got to hurry up here. Y'all can read the context. He said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. Someone was sending an army after Elisha the prophet to kill him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. That's Elisha. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his master said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of chariots, horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
That's right.
So when the Syrians came down to Elisha, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this. This is funny. I love this. Elisha said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha says, this is not the way, nor is this the city, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led him to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. But you kill those who you take captive with your sword. Set food and water before them that they may eat, drink, and go to their master. And he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. I love this story. I love this story because it reminds us God's armies. We don't always see them, but they're there.
Amen.
We don't always know angels. You don't always see them, but they're there. If God ever opened our eyes to see what's that unseen realm, we would never be the same. We would never be the same. And I love the fact that
we couldn't even handle.
I love the fact that Elisha's so calm. Number one. Number two, that there's angelic army around him. And number three, God answers his prayer. Crazy prayer. Strike him with blindness. They didn't go completely blind. He just didn't let them see exactly where they were going.
Amen.
You know, someone's probably going to wrong you at your place of employment, or someone probably has wronged you. Someone's going to do something to you behind your back or to your face. It's going to be... it's going to be one of those moments where you're going to have to choose whether or not to take revenge. People have done it to me. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, you know that person? Don't be nice to that person. They talk about you behind their back. Behind your back.
That's right.
Okay? And it's whatever. If God can forgive me of the things that I've done, the hideous things that I've done, those that have been been forgiven much and loved much. Okay? I am not righteous. Only by his blood.
That's right.
So I'm not going to take revenge. The Bible says if your enemy's hungry, feed him. It's first to give him something to drink.
That's right.
Okay, have the priority of a paternal perspective. God has had mercy on me and my worst, most rebellious, filthy sin.
Yeah.
I got to do the same.
That's right.
Got to show mercy.
That's right.
All right, fourth priority is patience for God's perfect timing. This is 2 Kings chapter 8. Verses 1 through 6. This is for people that have been waiting for something. Could be single people. Could be parents of a kid that's wandered away, waiting for that kid to come back home or come to the Lord. This is from 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life. He said, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years." And the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God. She went with her husband and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land, for it to be returned. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done." Now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was a woman whose son he had restored to life. Appealing to the king for her house and for her land. Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman. This is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers, all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now." I love this story. Yes. Man, I love this story. It is not fair. It is not fair.
That's right.
What happened in this story? It's not fair. But it is God's favor.
Yeah.
Okay? For the servants of God, some of you have been waiting for something. The enemy is taunting you, saying you are missing out. Go jump into sin.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't wait. God's forgotten. He's not listening to you.
Absolutely.
Here you have this lady. She's waited for 7 years. She did what the man of God told her to do. Somebody took over her land. And she comes back. And she's pleading with the king to get her land back. And on the very day, Gehazi's there. You know, God has people all around you and all around me for a reason.
That's right.
The day I met my wife, I was on a bus to Washington, D.C. I hate to talk to people when I travel because it's traveling is miserable. I was taking a flight out of D.C. and I had to take the Greyhound bus. This lady sits down across from me, starts talking to me. It's a Puerto Rican lady. I was reading a magazine. I gave her no impression that I wanted to hear anything she said. I just stared at my magazine and she just starts talking. And I was like, "Yeah. Sure." I was so irritated with this lady. My wife gets on the bus in a different city than me. Puerto Rican lady's still talking. I'm still irritated. I'm so angry. My wife starts coming down the aisle with these two duffel bags, these two gym bags. And I'm so angry. And I'm thinking, now this, I'm listening to this lady I don't want to listen to. This other lady's going to hit me in the face. So I stood up and I said, "Give me your bag." Okay, now I had a beard, shaved head. I look like a criminal. I probably still do, but I look like a criminal, and she thought I was stealing her bag. I just took her bag, I put it on the little shelf of the bus. My wife, my future wife, she sits down on the bus next to me. She's clutched, she's got this death clutch on her other bag. Like, "You might have gotten one, but you're not getting the other one." And the Puerto Rican lady is still talking, only in English. I'm as white as they come. I don't look Spanish at all. My wife asks the Puerto Rican lady, does he speak Spanish? And the Puerto Rican lady answers in Spanish, yes, he speaks Spanish very well. I hadn't said anything to this lady in Spanish. I barely spoke English to her. I did not want to talk to her. But when that lady said that, my wife and I started talking.
Amen.
I don't know if that lady was an angel or not. I just know I was a jerk. That's all I know. I was a jerk. I was a jerk to that lady, bless her heart. I was a jerk to my wife. She thought I was stealing her bag. Okay? Just be patient for what God has for you.
Amen.
Be patient. Everything that you think that you're missing out on, God's going to give it back to you.
Amen.
He's going to give it back to you. Everything that you've waited for, the promises that you've held to, the times that you've honored God,
yes, yes,
God
Lord.
Knows that He's going to bring the yes, right Lord. Person at the right time when you're talking to
Come
the
on.
King of Kings.
Come
and
on.
Bam! All that stuff that you thought you missed out on, that the enemy
yes,
lied and lied and said, look at this!
Yes.
Go after this! Stop waiting on God!
Yes,
God
Lord.
Is going to give it back to you. And
yes.
it won't be fair. It will be favor.
Yes,
it will be God's
Hallelujah.
Favor. All right.
Hallelujah.
Sorry, move on, and I'm going to shut it down. 2 Kings chapter 8. Last one. And that was 2 Kings chapter 8. This is the last one. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. Praise when you wake up. Priority of praise first. Push past your pain, your shame, your discomfort. Have a paternal perspective. Have patience for God's perfect timing. And then this is private prayer and partnering in prayer. Okay, so this is the verse about God talking to Elijah. Elijah has just had the prophets of Baal slain, called down the fire.
Yep.
Okay, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 13 through 18. So Jezebel threatens him, he runs, he goes to the cave. So it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God, foes, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And the Lord said to him, go return your way. Okay, he says, anoint these. I'm going to skip down to verse 18. He said, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal.
Yes.
And every mouth has not kissed him.
Yes, Lord.
Go to chapter 20 now. Go to chapter 20. God says, I'm going to help you. He wasn't alone. He had Obadiah. He had some other prophets. If you go to verse chapter 20, verse 15. So then God had said 7,000. Got 7,000 people that have not bowed to Baal. And then there's this army that comes in the very next chapter. And he mustered the young leaders of the province. There were 232. And after that, he mustered all the people, all the children of Israel. 7,000. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't know if those 7,000 people were people interceding and praying, or if he's referring directly to that army. I have no idea. It's something that God knows. I have no idea. But that 7,000 turned the tide of battle. Okay? There's going to be times when you're going to need to pray by yourself, and then there's just going to be times where you're going to need to partner up. And come to corporate prayer like we do here. Okay? It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. This is my last verse, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close. This is from Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 6. I'll start at verse 5. In that day the Lord of hosts will be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, for the spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength, and for strength to those who turn back the battle of the game. It's time to play offense instead of defense.
Amen.
Time to turn back the battle. Only Jesus could take something so hideous as the cross and turn it into something so glorious in victory.
That's right.
That the enemy played every card, took out every weapon, threw everything he could at Christ. Jesus opened his arms, died the death he did, and then went down to hell and took the keys to the devil's kingdom away from him. You don't even have the keys to your own kingdom! And I believe it's time we play offense instead of defense. We've got to get up praising God for who he is. We become like what we worship. He's worthy no matter how crappy we feel. Hallelujah. No matter how early the hour.
Glory.
I have this dog, this tiny little dog, at 5:30 Saturdays and Sundays. He's going to come in our room. He's going to push our door open. He's going to roll around on the floor. You're going to hear his little collar rattle, and then he's going to look at me. If I don't reach down and pet it, he's going to jump on our bed. He's going to lay down next to me because he knows I'm going to take him out. He doesn't go to Jasmine's side of the bed. He goes to my side. I would hope that I'm smarter than that dog. That every time I get off, I know God's got something good for me.
Amen.
I got to worship. I got to push past some pain. I got to push past some discomfort. I got to make praise a priority. I got to push past some things. I got to take that paternal perspective. Say, God, help me to think your thoughts.
Yeah.
And to see people the way you see them.
Yeah.
I got to be patient.
Yes, Lord.
God has perfect time. He has Kairos moment. Yeah. Moments for us, moments of tremendous spiritual potential that unlock. They're going to take people to another level spiritually and in authority. I've been so long like Mary and Martha where I blamed God for stuff. Yeah. Why were you here when my brother died?
Yes, Lord.
Accusatory. And now God is saying declaratory. Don't ask. Give thanks.
Yes, Lord.
Don't ask. Give thanks.
Yes, Lord.
I don't see the big picture. Jesus knew Lazarus was going to die.
Thank you.
But he knew he would wait on purpose for Lazarus to die, for more souls to come into the kingdom when they saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. We ache and we hurt, and that takes what we see, or the way we see God, or the how we think he's going to resolve this. But we need to just listen to the who. Just forget the how. The how is a surprise. We just know the who. And the who's been so good for so long, we know he's still got something good.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
All right, let's pray. Thank you again, Pastor, for the chance to speak. Thank you all for listening. I hope. Lord, I just thank you for every single one of the members of your remnant in this room, Lord Jesus. You're going to take this church deeper in prayer.
Yes,
Lord Jesus, you're going to use every individual in here to turn back the battle of the gate. When the enemy thinks he's won, Lord Jesus, we're going to hit the floor. We're going to open our eyes. We're going to worship you, Jesus, when we arise, when we wake up. We're going to push into your presence. We're going to swim in your river, Lord Jesus. You have greater things for the people of this church. And for this city and for this nation,
yes,
Lord, we repent, Lord Jesus, for the sins of the pride of this country, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We see the sin, the pride, the division every day. But Lord, you're going to unite your church. You're going to bless marriages and families.
Glory.
You're going to move us from accusatory to declaratory. Yes. And there will be prophets, praying prophets in this room, Lord Jesus.
Glory.
You're going to raise up people to prophesy when they pray.
Glory.
To declare to the unseen and to the seen that the will of God will be done. That the kingdom will come. We thank you, Jesus, that you are perfect. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.